Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We are one day closer to Camp Caserio. Starts tomorrow. We are 27 hours away from Texans training camp, and we will have you covered here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. What's going on, man?
Oh, topsy-turvy, Sean. Topsy-turvy.
Dude,
I went to bed. I know.
They were up 7-0, the Astros, when I went to bed last night. I literally did not find out they lost till I pulled into the parking lot this morning.
You know, it's one thing if it's the Red Sox or I would say even the Yankees at this point. I mean, the Yankees, they're a 500 team or so. So I haven't bothered checking their actual record in a while because they're nobodies.
They're not in the playoff picture.
Right.
Who cares?
So... But it's the Mariners, and I know. New Mariners, new story. But there's something about it being the Mariners.
Yeah.
And you're up 7-0. Luis Garcia is struggling. For those of you that are just waking up, I guess we should tell you.
The Astros lost 11-8 last night.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of people that did what you and I did.
Yeah.
And went to bed up 7-0 or whatever the score was when you went to bed. It was 7-0 when I went to bed.
Yeah, I'm going into a deep dive analysis here. Here's what you need to know. Luis Garcia, who's been awesome, had a really rough night. Okay, it happens. Can't happen on this team because this team is only good if your starting pitcher goes 7 innings and then you got your setup guy and your closer and then maybe you're okay. No, with this team, everything needs to be just right. It's damn Goldilocks, this team. Brooks Raley got ejected after letting up 873 runs for hitting a batter on a 3-1 count. He gets ejected. And all of Astros Nation said, well, look, he didn't deserve to get ejected, but I kind of hope he gets suspended for 3 months. Mr. Commissioner, love your work, respect what you've done with the league and whatnot. But how about you say, look, I don't know if you knew this or not. I don't know if you knew this, but no Astros were suspended from the cheating scandal. How about you go and suspend this guy?
The funny thing is, Brooks Raley could get suspended for a month by Manfred. Like, I could see Manfred going, you know what? A month.
Time to make a stand. So Brooks Raley shouldn't have gotten ejected, but if he were to get suspended until James Click signs another reliever.
Right.
I'd be cool with that.
Okay, that's, you know what? It's funny you say that because my first reaction when I saw the box score and when I texted my wife in the parking lot, like, hold up, they lost? She's like, oh yeah, Brooks Raley, because I think she stayed up and watched it. My first thought when I saw the box score was a curse word. My second thought was, okay, maybe this is one step backwards for several steps forwards in getting James Click off the dime to go get a reliever. You know, maybe this is something that hastens the urgency. Not that James Click doesn't know that they need relief help, but maybe this is something that makes them go get Craig Kimbrell, somebody like that.
And this is what you have to remember, and this is key, that, it's easy because we've seen the Astros make their way through playoff series before by using starters as relievers.
Yeah.
Like, that's an easy salve to on your emotions, say, well, look, they can, especially, you know, even if they went and got Scherzer, you can use your starters as relievers. That's great as long as things go relatively according to plan. The problem is you can't throw in a starter there as a reliever on any given night.
Not in July.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, no, but especially not in October either.
Yeah, yeah, right.
If all of a sudden, you know, you might have a plan to maybe use Luis Garcia or Framber as a reliever in the next outing or something.
Yeah.
But when it happens tonight,
when
it happens in that given night, you need relievers to come in and not blow a 7-0 lead.
Yeah.
You got to somehow get through it. Maybe Javier went 3 innings the night before or something. So, yes, in a perfect... It's possible to make it through just using mostly your starting pitchers, but in a playoff series, in a best-of-five series especially, you don't have the luxury of just only using starters. So As much as I love Scherzer, I can't trust this bullpen. You know, the stats look better than the bullpen actually is, and it's because the Astros starters have pitched so many innings.
Yeah.
They've done a good job of protecting the bullpen.
Not because the bullpen's decent.
Right. You've limited your exposure to that bullpen. We can't be exposed to that bullpen anymore.
All right, the A's didn't play last night, so the Astros up 5 games in the AL West. So there's that. Meanwhile, Seth and I will be out at Camp Casario starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. Sweating for you is what we're going to be doing. And I guess from a Deshaun Watson standpoint, no leaks or reports from any media, local, national, or otherwise, that Deshaun Watson is not going to be practicing on Wednesday. So as of right now, Deshaun Watson's going to be trotting out onto the field in a Texans practice uniform, presumably in a red jersey. That would be funny if he was the only quarterback not wearing the red jersey. Like, yeah, don't hit any of these guys, but you can hit Deshaun. That would be kind of funny. I guess the two things yesterday that got people worked up, hot and bothered, and these are things that, Seth, you and I were talking before the show. I feel like these are things that were reported already, but if Schefter or Breer or Rappaport or anybody say these things at any time, it all of a sudden becomes a report. Two things. One, that there are 10 police, the number of police complaints against Deshaun Watson, if you're wondering the specificity of it, is 10, according to a report, including 8 from the group of 22 civil cases that are suing him right now, and then 2 new ones that aren't part of Team Busby. So 10 total there. That was a report yesterday. I feel like the big part of the report was, hey, there's 2 that aren't part of the civil lawsuits. That had been reported before. I remember there being a report that there were people going to the police who were not part of the civil lawsuits against Deshaun. Really, very quickly, the other headline that, to me, is getting a lot of traction that is not necessarily new news is that the Texans are now listening to trade offers. They had been listening to trade offers back in March when they reportedly wanted to move Deshaun. At any rate, I think it is a good probably status check on where we are, is that the Texans are actively listening to trade offers. So it would seem that they're in a realistic place as far as retaining Deshaun Watson. And 2, there's a lot for HPD to hash out here with 10 police complaints against Deshaun.
I think the specificity, perhaps, of the number of women and is at least it provides some clarity.
Yeah, 10, that, then I'll admit, that's a number I didn't know. The part that there were women going to the police who weren't part of the Busby crew is something that had been reported before.
Well, and we knew that women had talked to the police. I guess the verbiage gets a little confusing sometimes. I'm not sure we knew that 10 had filed criminal complaints.
Yes.
So the formality of it and what have you. Now,
either way, it's a lot.
The DA, as of yet, has not received any... the DA hasn't received anything from the police department. So the police department is still investigating this stuff.
Yeah. I think, just in evaluating it, I think that's the trigger mechanism at this point. Because Roger Goodell did not put Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list. So he either has a ton more work to do, or he doesn't seem to have the goods on Deshaun Watson as far as finding something that would lead to a trip to the exempt list or even a suspension at this
point. What happens in the DA's office all of a sudden gets a package from the police department, if they do? Is that do you think it just like goes through the normal routine and like somebody sitting at a desk is like, oh, look at this. There's like somebody, I don't know, she's not a sports fan or something, and she's just sitting there and it's like, oh, look at this. There's a quarterback who
I have this folder. It says D. Watson on it. What do you want me to do this?
the rest of the world, just kind of, the rest of the sports world kind of waits wondering what the hell's about to go on.
Yeah.
In the legal world, which does not operate by an NFL timeline, the police department and the DA are not sitting there thinking like, well, we got to get this done by September 6th.
No.
So
it doesn't even seem like Goodell's thinking that way right now.
Right. It's going to trudge along. Now, the NFL is the NFL has interviewed about half of the plaintiffs.
Okay.
So, and they haven't, the NFL and the HPD have not interviewed Deshaun Watson yet, which is normal. That's par for the course, that you interview the defendant or the suspected or accused one last.
Right.
And again, that's going to take its sweet ass time. I was Zach Gelb on CBS last night. You and I are both now in this mode where we're doing like 8 interviews a day in other cities.
It's catching up.
Are you getting tired?
Yes.
I was Amy wanted me on at like 3:30 a.m. this morning. I cannot do it. I cannot. Not at the beginning of training camp.
Right.
Maybe once if the Texans start off 1-7 or something and I just don't give a damn anymore, then yes, I'll do it then.
Yeah.
So it's just the commissioner's exempt list is usually reserved for people who have criminal charges filed against them. This case here is so strange and different that I don't think they follow that precedent. If the NFL finds like that there might be flames that are producing all this smoke, then I think he ends up on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah, so there's a lot to watch here with this. We'll be out there covering all of it for you. Camp Casario starting tomorrow at NRG Stadium.
Should I? I might go out and invest in like a camera today so I can take pictures of Deshaun stretching on the sidelines.
Every move Deshaun makes. That was one of my initial thoughts. If Deshaun Watson's going to be out of training, this is my kind of training camp, because a former player like you, you're able to watch these drills and things like that and see certain football kind of things. You know me, like I'm a knowledgeable football fan, but you know I'm into like the drama, the soap opera part of it.
Yeah.
So I love that it's a training camp where I can be out there watching, like, oh, how's Deshaun interacting with his teammates?
Yeah.
I get to read body language big time.
That's
at this
actually,
training camp.
I think I got to be on that patrol too, though.
Yeah.
Because I can speak to that. It's just like, hey, what is this normal? Is this weird?
Right.
You watch Deshaun. I'll watch around Deshaun. That's what, see, like the football analyst is supposed to be good at not watching the ball. All the stuff that's important happens away from the ball. That leads up to who gets the ball. So I'll keep my eye off the ball and watch. I'll see if anybody's giving the side eye.
Yeah.
See if somebody else is like, you know.
Side eye. Yes. All right. If there is a Deshaun Watson trade market, big news yesterday means there's less competition on the Deshaun market. We'll break down the Aaron Rodgers latest next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I feel good when I get stuff right, because it doesn't happen all that often. Last week, you and I were sitting here chopping up the Big 12 realignment, or the SEC realignment, college football realignment stuff.
It's that, too. It's the Big 12 and the SEC.
It is, both of them. But you and I were like, no, I don't think it's happening. I don't think they got the votes. And now all the news is like, oh, yeah, it's definitely happening.
Did I say that? That doesn't sound like something I would say.
I said it, and I think you agreed with me.
Well, that was when I thought that A&M was going to have some kind of a voice.
They got
whatsoever.
No stroke.
I thought A&M might at least be – this is the thing. I thought A&M at least might be made aware that there was a discussion going
they were
on
in the meetings.
That it wasn't all the cool kids got together and said they're like, hey, let's keep A&M out of the loop. Should we invite Vanderbilt? Yeah, why not? They can come to the meeting, but not A&M.
A&M, who by the way was 5th in the nation last year going into the postseason.
Yeah.
No respect.
Man. All
right, this segment's not about that though. The one thing I feel good I got this right was, and I think you said this too, Seth, all along, is that Aaron Rodgers is going to be under center for the Packers in week one. This is all a bunch of smoke, and these two sides are going to reconcile, at least in the short term. The guy's the reigning MVP. He's going to play for the team this year.
And Aaron Rodgers kind of went out like a lamb yesterday. Like, they agreed to some concessions to persuade Aaron Rodgers to return for one more season. There, as much drama as there is surrounding the Deshaun Watson situation, the Aaron Rodgers situation, as of yesterday, seems to be settled. Well, at least in terms of 2021, he's going to come back. They settled some issues before training camp, and they agreed to some concessions that the 2023 year in Aaron Rodgers' contract would be voided. So 2022 would be the last year. The Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of the season. His contract would be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room now. Mechanisms will be put in place to address Aaron Rodgers' issues with the team. So it's all kind of, none of it's like numeric, or, you know, none of it is like he's being given this many dollars or he's giving these specific concessions. It's what Peter King proposed like a month ago or 2 months ago, which is, hey, the two sides need to just agree to put their weapons down for 2021 and then figure it out after this year. That's kind of what they're doing here.
Is it a detente?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's partly, but now I do feel like people are brushing aside the fact that he got potentially a year lopped off of his contract and a promise or a guarantee that he wouldn't be franchise tagged. That's kind of a big deal. Teams don't typically do that with their best players. They're like, oh yeah, we'll relinquish really effectively 3 years of control. If you talk about the two franchise tag years in the last year of the contract, sure, we'll just relinquish that for you. No big deal. That's actually a bigger deal than it's being presented. And I think that Aaron Rodgers got out of this with at least something. And I think that perhaps the next shoe to drop might be when they talk about considerations later or mechanisms in place. Maybe Jordan Love trade proposals start getting a perked up ear by...
Maybe.
It might be as simple as that. I mean, Aaron doesn't like to have somebody waiting in the wings. It hurts his precious little ego.
I think it would be a bigger deal. I think your point is fair. I think it would be a bigger deal if he weren't 37 years old. Like, if this were a quarterback in his mid to late 20s, I mean, and they were removing...
But are we expecting that all of a sudden he's going to go from an MVP season to just 3 years from now he won't be that good?
No, but he has retirement as a weapon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Aaron Rodgers is somebody when he threatens retirement. Like, I could see him doing that. You know, like, he's that quirky a character, and he's got other things he could go do. So, no, I don't. Like, I think he's a really good player, and I think when he's not playing for Green Bay anymore for somebody, he's going to be a good player for another couple of years. I think I'm just explaining why that might not get as much run as you're saying it should. Because you're right. It is significant. Teams don't do that.
I saw a few people kind of, you know, claiming victory. Like, you see, players can't actually control anything. They don't have power in where they go. And I was like, oh, cool. Does that mean we get Dwayne Brown back? Wow, awesome. Did something happen that I missed? Did they negate all of these player-driven trades? Like, is Jalen Ramsey going back to the Jaguars?
Right.
It's not an absolute power where anybody can force their way off of any team at any point. But I think it, to me, when I saw that, my first reaction was, wow, he got the last year lopped off and no guarantee of a franchise tag. That's actually a big deal. And then when I started reading about it, I saw people just casually dismissing that. I don't know, because really what it does is, okay, that puts, you know how it works in the NFL. It effectively makes next year, in a lot of respects, the last year of his contract it actually will be the last year of his contract. It almost makes this year the last year of his contract because going into that final year, there's so much pressure to either restructure or do something with it.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're just waking up, Aaron Rodgers is going to be in camp, it would appear, for the Green Bay Packers. This is really good news for the Texans, I think, in the short term. If Nick Caserio wants to have a Deshaun Watson market created now, if the Texans' intent is to trade Deshaun Watson as soon as possible, which I hope is not the case, I still think even if Aaron Rodgers is on the market next offseason, I think the market for Deshaun Watson is going to be more robust in 2022 than it is now. But if Nick Caserio is of mind to move on from Deshaun Watson this offseason, then they've got a captive audience. There's no Aaron Rodgers out there. If you're Denver, you know, I was on two stations in Denver yesterday. They're all hepped up again about this Deshaun Watson merely showing up at training camp, people, is big news in other markets. I'm going to tell you that right now. Seth and I got a jillion texts yesterday from other markets. No Aaron Rodgers on there. It's simple supply and demand, Seth. There's now one elite quarterback out there available that for these teams that want one.
Potentially available. And when I go on in these markets, because the national media has treated this Deshaun Watson case so carefully or almost just hasn't wanted to touch it, I can almost hear people being deflated as I explain the enormity of this case against Deshaun Watson, or these cases against Deshaun Watson, just the sheer vastness of it, like how many and how slowly moving it is. That I think there are a lot of people out there that are kind of cautiously hoping, oh, okay, well, they're just lawsuits, right? So maybe he'll settle and then we'll be able to just not think about it and he'll come here with a clean slate. And you got to tell him, like, not really, man. No, this is ongoing. He might be yanked from you in the month of November while you're in the middle of a playoff
run. Yeah, he might be flying back and forth to Houston quite a bit.
Yeah, nobody
knows. To meet with his attorneys, if nothing else.
Now, the other offshoot that's relevant to the Texans about the Aaron Rodgers trade, or excuse me, the Aaron Rodgers deal, is that apparently Aaron Rodgers really wants Randall Cobb back in the fold.
Okay, it's funny. I retweeted that yesterday. Trey Wingo was the first person I saw tweet this. And I retweeted it saying that I would drive Randall Cobb to the airport if need be.
Sean, where are we going to get that 400 yards of offense back, though? How the hell? We can't just squander those 30
receptions.
It's
why they went and got Anthony Miller. Yeah. Mildog, as you like to call him.
Anthony Miller, and that's another story. Okay, it turns out the details of that trade were that the Texans swapped a 2022 fifth-round pick for the Bears.
Seventh round pick
in 2022. Right. Yeah.
So that's the detail. But what we're talking about with Randall Cobb, Trey Wingo tweeted this yesterday afternoon. Hearing Rodgers coming back to Green Bay hinging on trading for former teammate Randall Cobb. If Cobb is in Green Bay, it looks like Rodgers will be too. That was silly enough to where I had several people texting me going, I saw you retweet that with your snarky comment. Do you think Trey Wingo was serious or was he joking?
Oh,
like Randall Cobb is overpriced and old enough.
He's not a very jokey guy. Not that he's not a snarky guy.
No,
that's what I'd say. That would be a snarky comment, and he's not a snarky guy.
No, he's not. Like if Kenny Mayne did that, I would be like, okay, that's just a joke. But if you're wondering whether or not it's a joke, know that part of Aaron Rodgers' issues with the Green Bay Packers stem from them cutting that Kumaro guy, the wide receiver named Kumaro. Who I had never heard of him until I heard Aaron Rodgers was mad that they cut him.
I love that Aaron Rodgers' first official move as general manager of the Packers is to trade for a Bill O'Brien contract.
Yes. Yeah. No, now he needs to trade Devontae Adams for a second round pick and David Johnson.
Yeah.
Then he'll officially be general manager of the Green Bay Packers. All right. So that's where we are with the Aaron Rodgers situation. We are off and running on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, training camp started. Camp Casario cannot wait. So we still are not certain exactly how the Texans are going to be handling Deshaun Watson and training camp. They can either have him show up tomorrow at practice or they can send him home excused. Pros and cons of each way to handle the Deshaun Watson situation. Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
The most important thing is for all of us, our coaches and players, myself included, is to focus on the things that we can control. And as we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, then we'll try to make, the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails.
All right, that was Nick Caserio back on June 14th. He was on this show uttering those words in response to a question from my co-host here, Seth Payne. How are you going to handle Deshaun Watson behind the scenes? And training camp was set as sort of a benchmark on the calendar. It begins tomorrow on the field. Players are reporting today. So all the awkwardness that you and I talked about yesterday pretty extensively, Seth, with Deshaun Watson now being in the building. Deshaun Watson showed up Sunday because that's when quarterbacks were set to show up. His teammates return. Like now, at least a few familiar faces will be in the building with Deshaun.
When I went and got my COVID testing because I'm M2 level, which means that I get to be closer to the
Tier
players.
Tier 2M, baby.
Is that what I am? M2 or 2M? M2 sounds more like I'm weaponized.
Yeah, but you can say it however you want.
So yeah. I'm 2M, but I was in the trailer and John Weeks was in there.
That's
how I knew players were reporting. John Weeks was getting right.
How's he doing?
He's good.
Loyal listener.
He looks lean. For one, also, he had a pep in his step, and then I realized later, as part of signing Anthony Miller, they released the other long snapper on
good.
The roster.
So, get the hell out of here, Kukwa.
That's enough. Look, John Weeks doesn't need the competition at this point in his career. John Weeks should have pulled an Aaron Rodgers. We're like, you're going to sign another long snapper, huh?
Made concessions to John Weeks.
I'm taking my ball and long snapping my way home. So he shows up
at camp, and he's long snapping it over everybody's head.
He looked really lean. Yep. Now, I was walking into the trailer as he's walking out. He told the testers that I needed to be tested 8 times. he said
he's watch dirty.
Out this guy needs to be tested at least
That's
8
great.
Times.
That's great.
But he looked super lean, and I thought about quizzing him about all this stuff, but then I thought, you know what? Not appropriate. I'm just gonna let John Weeks be on his merry way. Well,
John Weeks has seen a lot of stuff, man.
I know.
He's been here since 2010.
He's seen everything. He knows all the secrets.
Dude.
That's how he's at the point now where he can keep his job forever.
If you're trying to create the title of team historian, it starts with Mark Vandermeer's a number one.
Yeah.
But John Weeks might be number two on the list if you were trying to concoct or construct a history of the Texans.
Yeah. John Weeks strikes me. He's kind of like Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski. He's just, he can narrate
without
some
mustache,
stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So practice starts tomorrow out of Camp Caserio, and I put this poll out yesterday. Does Deshaun, and the poll is closed now, you can't vote anymore, people. Does Deshaun Watson set foot on the practice field this week at Camp Caserio? What do you think the percentages were from the over 1,100 people who voted in that poll?
Wait, say it again?
Does Deshaun Watson set foot on the practice field this
week? Okay.
Yes or no?
That's a good question, because that's not the same as taking snaps. That's actually stepping on the practice field, just doing some drills on the side.
Yeah, do fans see him? Do we physically see him? When you and I are out there tomorrow at 9 a.m., does Deshaun Watson run out onto the field?
Okay. Let me do that. I'm going to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire here and kind of talk.
Are you
my
guessing
way.
The percentage here?
I'm guessing the percentage. I'm gonna talk my way through this because now, when did the poll close?
About this time yesterday. I put it up right before the show.
This time yesterday it closed. In the afternoon, I heard Clinton's show. And Clinton was adamant that you can't be having him out there taking snaps.
He thinks it's the dumbest
snaps.
Thing ever.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but those people would not have been affected by Clint's opinion yesterday. I'm going to say 55% people think that he'll show up, that Deshaun will show up on the practice field.
Yes, he does show up.
Yeah.
It's 54% no.
Okay.
So a small majority say no, he will not set foot on the practice field. I think he's setting foot on the practice field. I think when you and I are out there tomorrow at 9 a.m., I think he's going to be out there in some fashion.
With all things Texan, this is what you have to ask yourself. What is rational and what is emotional?
It's George Costanza. Do the opposite.
Yeah. What is driven by logic and what is driven by either motivational sayings or emotion or ego or pride or what have you? And we've got a little bit of a grudge match here between the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the next move of one-upsmanship and kind of calling people's bluffs or whatnot, the Texans say, yeah, okay, you showed up. Okay, well, how about this? You're going to go out there and you're going to play.
Yes.
Which, honestly, I don't think that's
100% in play.
I don't think it's a smart move. But it's kind of the baller move.
I'm going to tell you right now.
I kind of respect it if they do.
I'm glad you said this. I'm going to say this right now.
Yeah.
If Deshaun Watson is out there because the Texans are like, all right, screw you, you're going to practice, good for the Texans.
I kind of respect
that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's not
my
the smart
Q rating goes up for the Texans at least 1 point.
But then you have to ask yourself, okay, but wait a second. That seems like something Bill O'Brien would say or do. Yeah. Does that make it the smart general manager thing to do?
Right, right.
So, because realistically, if you're thinking about trading him, and this is what happens usually when a team decides that they're definitely going to trade a guy, then they put him under wraps, and he's not going to get subjected to potential injury. You know, in basketball, football, whatever, baseball, they'll pull guys off right before a game begins. But I don't think the Texans are there yet.
Yeah.
And I think there is some part of the Texans that wonders if Deshaun might eventually come back into the fold, and we'll see what happens with these lawsuits and if they resolve themselves.
All right, we're going to get into pros and cons of each approach with Deshaun Watson, keeping him off of the practice field, putting him on the practice field, and suiting him up. But first,
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news, powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We don't get a lot of breaking news at 6:40 a.m., but when the Olympics are overseas, it's not 6:40 a.m. over in Japan now.
It's actually July 31st over there already. It's the way it works.
This is no laughing matter, though. Simone Biles has pulled out of the competition over there in Tokyo with an apparent injury.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at a tweet from David Barron, who still writes a lot. For somebody who's retired, David Barron sure still is active with the Chronicle. Simone Biles left the competition floor briefly after her poor vault landing. She's not competing on the uneven bars. She did return to the floor but took off her grips. She's got a substitute now on Team USA for her, but she has pulled out of the competition with an apparent injury, which is sad. Houstonian Simone Biles.
She was supposed to do a Yurchenko vault with 2.5 twists, but bailed out at the last second and only executed 1.5 twists. That sounds like the kind of thing that might put a whole lot of stress on your joints or what have you.
Yeah.
So it says Simone's knees also buckled on the landing, propelling her body forward towards the mat, although she avoided falling over entirely. That sounds like it was a really scary moment.
Yeah.
So Simone Biles, who is, I say only 24 years old. You know, it's a different world with gymnastics.
It's old by gymnastics standards.
But it's amazing how much she's accomplished. That honestly, sometimes I think of her as like, wow, I can't believe she's still going. It's got to be like 28 years old. She's accomplished so much. And the women's gymnastics team they need her right this moment. So for both the team and for Simone Biles personally.
Yeah, she struggled the other night. I mean, she struggled, and she was still number one in the floor competition after. Like, by her standards, she was struggling. But that sucks. You know, that stinks. So Simone Biles' apparent injury, we'll keep an eye on that bit of news for you here at Sports Radio 610. Simone Biles, a Texan in law, so to speak. Her boyfriend, Jonathan Owens, is a safety for the Texans.
Oh, all right. See, that's where it gets confusing. Because I was like, yes, of course she's a Texan, Sean. We don't shut up about how she's a Houstonian and whatnot.
No, I mean, logo and the trademark next to her, Texan.
Wait, is that her fiancé now, or are they just still
dating? I think they are engaged. I'm not sure.
Really?
I need to check. Ben, do a fact check for us on that. I don't want to get somebody engaged if they're not. Jonathan Owens might be somewhere like, hey, bro, don't commit. Hey, I know she's Simone Biles and all, but, you know, I'm still young. I got some living to do. All right, so back to Deshaun Watson and Camp Casario. So, Seth, there's still 26 hours and change until the Texans take the field tomorrow. So there is still time for the Texans to come to some sort of resolution with Deshaun Watson that would involve either excusing him entirely from the building, having him work out inside while the team is going through their reps. It seems like the tea leaves and the way the wind's blowing right now, it would seem that both sides are resigned to the fact that Deshaun Watson is not going to be a Texan long term. So wherever you are emotionally with that right now, I would say if you're not at a place right now where you've accepted that Deshaun Watson is not going to be a Texan, mentally that might be the healthy thing to do. It would appear that that's where we are and where we've been for several months. So of the two scenarios, let's go through these, the pros and cons of each one, and you tell me if I'm off base on this. Scenario number one is they come to some sort of resolution that keeps Deshaun away from the building in an excuse fashion. To be clear, I think that's the underdog right now. I think the favorite is he's out there tomorrow. But let's go through this here. And if they come to that resolution that they excuse Deshaun from training camp tomorrow, from Camp Caserio, pros and cons. To me, the pros are mostly psychological. It's symbolic. You're cutting the cord. You're moving on. You're giving clarity to the rest of the roster that the Deshaun Watson era is over. That's the pros of it. The cons are you'd be completely tipping your hand here when it comes to any sort of trade talks.
Yeah.
It'd be a soft admission, too, that you kind of think he might be guilty of some of the things that he's being accused of.
You know what, though? I've stopped worrying about that as much. Like, when you're the person with the asset to sell, I think the conventional thing is like, well, you got to make it look like you don't want to give him up.
Yeah.
But the reality of the matter is that you're in a market in the NFL where everybody's desperate to win. And people that are out there that sniff or see or smell an opportunity to get a quarterback as long as there are other teams out there trying to do the same, then they're not necessarily going to be caught up in the gamesmanship of like, well, they don't think they're dealing with Bill O'Brien, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Now, with Bill O'Brien, I think it was a whole different matter. I think Bill O'Brien had been identified as a mark that just keep lowballing him, and everybody else is lowballing him too, and at some point he's going to cave. I think Nick Caserio likely is not perceived that way. One thing for people to remember is, Caserio, I'm not sitting here saying he must be a genius because he was in New England, but he was the guy in New England who was taking calls, who was executing a lot of these maneuvers alongside Bill Belichick. But he has these relationships in the league, you know, to a much greater degree than Bill O'Brien did.
Yeah, I might have some O'Brien PTSD there when it comes to worrying about tipping their hand. The pro in that scenario, Seth, that the fact that they're providing clarity to the rest of the roster, you're cutting the cord, excuse me, if you excuse Deshaun, then you're very, very clearly moving on with this group. As a former player, is there validity to what I just said there? Like, if you were a player out there, if you were a current Houston Texan out there, and you see that the team just went ahead and sent Deshaun home, is there some degree of just relief in the clarity that, okay, not only do we think they were moving on from Deshaun, but now, symbolically and really legitimately, they have moved on from Deshaun Watson. Is there anything to that?
I don't know if relief is the right word. I mean, it does. I suppose it would quiet things down a little bit, just because you're not going to necessarily have to answer any questions or
allows you to focus, maybe.
Yeah. And I think that, and what we have to remember about this team is that half of the guys who are going to play this year barely know Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of an overstatement because there's continuity on the offensive line. And a lot of the new guys are, at least for now, slotted as backups or their draft picks. But it's hard to generalize and say this is how the team's going to react.
Yeah.
Because they – and remember, too, I guess you callous yourself a little bit as a player because just stuff happens all the time. Guys get injured all the time. You know, whether Deshaun Watson gets removed from the situation because the team decides it, or Deshaun Watson gets removed from the team because he tears his ACL, it's practically no different for how it affects players on the field. And you just kind of have that whole, the old soldier's prayer, which is what is that? Mine is not to reason why. Mine is just to fight and die or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't think about that stuff. You just kind of plod along, and you got to take care of your own business.
So scenario number two is that Deshaun suits up and begins training camp. I think right now that's what's going to happen. I will say this, and maybe I'm kind of supporting Clint Sterner, who was adamant yesterday on Clint Sterner in the show that this is a bad idea to have Deshaun Watson show up at camp tomorrow. I will admit, most of the pros are for radio hosts and people who generate content. I have a hard time seeing what exactly the football pros are, unless two things. One, maybe this is a way to show that Deshaun is not a distressed asset. You know, he's out there, he's running around, he's doing things. It's a chance to show that, hey, Deshaun Watson's a good teammate. He's out here, he's a good soldier. I guess the other pro, Seth, would be the small, maybe minuscule, infinitesimally small percentage chance that the two sides reconcile in this. I guess
is one of the pros of Deshaun showing up. The cons are that he's taking away reps from the other quarterbacks. You might look a little weird relegating him to fourth string. He might get injured, although I think that's overblown. I think Deshaun Watson would probably have to lose a limb in order to lose any sort of trade value between now and 2022. In support of Clint saying it's a bad idea to have him out there, it is tough to come up with some pros for Deshaun being out there that don't involve you and I doing radio. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited for it's going to look like from a drama standpoint.
I think the biggest pro, I guess, is if the Texans believe that somehow maybe they bring Deshaun Watson back into the fold and that his lawsuits and potential criminal charges will be resolved in a way that people feel good about, that maybe Deshaun ends up being the quarterback. And right now, the problem is that I think Deshaun knows that other teams out there want him. You know, Rusty Harden spoke about that yesterday and kind of tried to paint a bullish market for Deshaun Watson. We don't know exactly how willing teams are to trade for him right now.
Right.
And it's certainly probably not at a price that the Texans want. But I don't think, as long as Deshaun thinks that there are greener pastures out there, or at the very least, in cities where there aren't at least 24 different women that have it out for him, you know, like in whatever the hell he was up to, even if it was legal, like I don't think that Deshaun is going to come to peace with wanting to be the Texans quarterback anytime soon. But the quote I was trying to read, of course, was Alfred Lord Tennyson, which is...
I was going to say that. I didn't want to make you look stupid.
Yes, of course. Seth, that was Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Naturally.
It's the charge of the Light Brigade, Sean.
Okay.
And there's nothing, I hadn't said it because it's the thing I hate so much is when you make a military analogy for football.
Yeah.
You know, I once had a football coach that showed the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan. D-Day. It's on D-Day. So the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan is D-Day. And it shows war in like all its most awfulness. And he showed it. And then he got up and he said, "Men, what you guys are doing tomorrow is no different than what those guys did right there. Boy. I'm like, what? What? What the hell are you talking about, man?
Oh, no.
Whoa. There's not to make reply, there's not to reason why, there's but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600.
There you go.
Alfred Lord Tennyson, big football fan.
Yeah, huge football fan. A degenerate gambler as well.
He was.
Text message, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. Seth, I'm really unsure that the Texans want to win. I agree most teams do, but they hired Culley, they retained Easterby, they lost Jamie Roots. I think the Texans want to win. I know it's an unconventional approach that Nick Caserio is taking, but this is the hand he was dealt as general manager. I do think they want to win. I do think there's probably a degree of realism in the building where they realize that they'll have a high pick in the draft this year.
I guess there's a little bit of a disconnect there, or maybe it's on my end or something. Like I never understand the notion that somehow winning is about just wanting to win. Like, the world is replete with people who want to win.
Yeah.
And many of them are abject losers. But I don't doubt their willing or their desire to win.
Right.
They just don't know how to do it or don't have the self-discipline or they're not smart enough or they don't have the skill or what have you.
Or the right people.
But they want to win.
Of course.
They totally want to win. Sometimes they want to win so bad that they spend half their money on lottery tickets.
That's right.
That's the wrong way to try to win.
Yep.
So it's not a matter of whether the Texans want to win. Now, what is their strategy this current season? I don't think they're trying to win a championship this season. But they also haven't been behaving quite like a team that wants to go 1-16.
No.
So what it comes down to is I think sometimes when you catch yourself saying, well, the Texans don't want to win, what you really are trying to say is they don't know how to win. I mean, because in the old argument was that the Texans had their season ticket waiting list forever and they're making money, so they don't even care. They just want to make money. That's fine if you want to leave that argument in the past. Cal McNair has spent a ton of money. Like they've got a brand new locker room over there. That's one of those beautiful things I've ever seen. They spent more cash in 2019 than any team in the league.
Yep.
No, 2000 going into 2020.
Right.
So like Cal McNair has spent a lot of money. that doesn't mean that they know how to win or that they're doing all the right things. But I just, tell me on the text line or tweet at me, what am I getting wrong here? Like, where is the disconnect between me? Like, my belief has always been that, yeah, you can want to win. You know what it is, Sean? You know what bothers me so much? When I was a player, and sometimes in the middle of a tough season, I'd have somebody come up to me and be like, you know, this is the thing. You guys just got to want it more than the other guys. I'm like, all right, well, thanks. I didn't realize. All right, okay, gosh. I've been out there kind of blasé about the whole thing. All right, I guess I'll just try. I'll start wanting it more. I got
Was it
gotcha.
Hard to keep from punching that person?
No. It was hard to be polite.
Yeah.
I strive to be polite in public situations. It's not like I walk around in real life like the way I am on the radio where I just let every single thought come to my mind.
That
is
true. Seth is much calmer privately behind the scenes. All right, five teams hoping the Texans wait until next year to trade Deshaun Watson. Tell you who they are next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.